God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We continue our sermon series talking through the fruit of the Spirit as St. Paul describes them in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the day, so to speak, is gentleness, which also may be translated as meekness and humbleness. Now, very often we get the wrong idea about gentleness. Sometimes people will associate gentleness with that of sort of like being a doormat. You know, that sort of that feeling that you just allow other people to sort of walk right over you and they can wipe their shoes all over you and do whatever you want to feel, they feel like doing. And as a Christian, we almost think it's like our obligation or something that we got to put up with this. Now, this doormat quality is not what Paul here, through the Holy Spirit, is talking about regarding gentleness. God did not create you to be a, quote, doormat for other people. Having no personal or family boundaries is not what God intended. You were created because God loves you. God can work through you. The doormat idea that some people have about gentleness is not healthy, nor is it biblical. It actually opposes to what the Bible says. As God reminds us, we each have different gifts. We have worth and value because of Him. However, the doormat idea comes across because as Christians, we sometimes have in the back of our mind that idea that, you know, we must be well-liked by other people. Well, fair enough. There's nothing wrong with being well-liked. But in our need to be liked by other people does not mean that we withdraw our boundaries. Needless to say, God does not operate on this principle either. There are many people in today's world who are angry with God because God isn't doing their will. It's interesting in our prayers, when we pray to God, how many times in our prayers do we have commands for God? Instead of saying to God, okay, God, help me to understand your will. Help change my will to reflect your will. Most of us don't pray that way. Needless to say, we have a lot of bent up, angry Christians because God doesn't necessarily always do their will. It begs the question, who's God? And who is the redeemed people? Needless to say, God doesn't have this complex that, whoops, I offended some of those Lutherans down there or some Christians over there. I better go do their will. No, God's will is holy. He is wanting us to bend to His will. He has His proper boundaries in place. Yes, Jesus Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. Fair enough, God does love us and He does forgive us, but guess what? If you keep pushing God out of your life, is there not something called hell? Did we not hear about that in our gospel reading for today? The place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Needless to say, yes, God does want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. This is a Bible verse. This is a promise of God. But it doesn't say that God is going to remove His boundaries of who He is to do that. No, He is God. He died on the cross so that everyone can be with Him in heaven above. Those who push away from God, however, push away from their eternal salvation. As a result, yes, there is a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another misconception that we may have of the concept of gentleness comes especially from us as Christians. We practice this very well. It's something called passive aggressiveness. You know, on the outside, we try to be nice type people. We try to be friendly. We try to sort of smile on our face. And inside, however, we're just waiting for an opportunity to sort of get even. This passive aggressiveness is like a person who, you know, is smiling on the outside and as someone walks by and then starts gossiping about them as soon as they get out of earshot. Not that us as Christians have ever done anything like this. No, we specialize in this. They're the ones that if you disagree with them or you tick them off, they will get even in a very quiet and unexpected way. This sort of gives you a little bit of an idea where I want to go with this term gentleness, but now let me give you some more practical applications, and I'll even use my own self. Most of you know I grew up on the north side of Chicago, and because of that I have some north side tendencies, and I also realize that I am a pastor of a parish that there are some of you who grew up on the south side. And we have a little bit of this friction and tension from now and then. Well, right now, baseball season is doing well for us. The Cubs and the Sox are both doing fairly decently. And I remember just a few years ago, however, when the Cubs were not necessarily doing well, unfortunately, since I'm a Northsider, but the Sox were doing well. So well that they got even to the World Series. So what would the reaction of a good Cub fan be? Would a good Cub fan sit there and say, this is great for the city of Chicago to have a World Series champion? Or would a good Cub fan sit there and say, bah, humbug? This Cub fan, however, said, this is great. I understand the city of Chicago. I love the city that I was raised in. And yes, even though I am a Cub fan, I still want the Sox to do well. However, those who don't have the concept of gentleness down want vengeance. And that vengeance takes the form of a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of strife. Using that same analogy as a Cub fan, the Cub fan who is not practicing gentleness would sit there and boo the White Sox, even when they're winning the World Series. Let me use another analogy. Of course, when I was in high school, we had high school sports, and there was always rivalries. And there's nothing wrong with a good rivalry. Even into adulthood, sometimes these rivalries follow us. As some of you know, I'm a Luther North grad, and we have some Luther South grads in this congregation. And they're still members. I haven't excommunicated them. Unfortunately, as times are, we've always had to compete against each other. For good and for bad, sometimes we won, sometimes we lost. Hence the nice little rivalry there. But right now, my heart is grieving. We're just getting word through our district office that Luther South is running into some very hard times. So what is a reaction of a Luther High School North grad to Luther High School South, unsure of its future? My heart is grieving. That shows an aspect of gentleness. If I didn't have that aspect of gentleness, I'd probably sit there and go, yes, my rivalry is being bitten into the dust. But that doesn't help the kingdom of God. Needless to say, my heart is still grieving, and my prayers go to the people at Luther High School South, and we hope and pray that God can bless that school so it can compete against Luther South or Luther North in the future. Again, this whole concept of gentleness is, how do we handle conflict in our lives? Do we handle it well or do we handle it poorly? Gentleness is not just sort of being that doormat, but how gracious are you in dealing with people in the midst of conflict? Are you the type of person that wants to see the people who oppose you humiliated, torn apart? Are you filled with vengeance? Then you are not practicing and bearing this fruit. But if you want to see your enemy, as Jesus says, love your enemy, also to be saved, come to repentance, and be with you in heaven above, then you are practicing this fruit. And this is a very challenging fruit here. Because our natural instincts want to see our enemy torn apart. The spirit within us basically says, no, that enemy of yours is also created by God and loved by God. Can you have not a gentle spirit in dealing with them even in the midst of conflict? This is hard because we very often take our conflicts personally. We need to be reminded of the Bible passage, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We don't extract vengeance. Yes, we're supposed to have our boundaries in our lives. Fair enough. And yes, as parents, for those of us who are parents, yes, we're supposed to have appropriate discipline. But what's the difference between abuse and discipline? Discipline you do out of love, trying to restore the person. Abuse, you're bestowing your wrath upon the person for your own personal satisfaction. God does not do that. God does not pour out His wrath upon you for His personal satisfaction. Fair enough, God's wrath was poured out, but it was poured out upon Himself because you are so important to Him. You are loved by Him. You are cherished by Him. That's why Jesus dies on the cross, to receive God's wrath. God receiving His own wrath so that you can benefit of the joys of living with love and forgiveness. That is how God handles conflict. How do you handle conflict in your life? When someone sins against you, is your first reaction, let's get even? Or is your first reaction, how can I restore this person? We have God's view of what gentleness is all about. This very often differs than man's view. Jesus does do an excellent job in teaching us gentleness with His own actions. He gives of Himself, but not in a doormat type way. He doesn't give us everything we ever want and need because we believe and trust in Him. There is a difference between needs and wants. We may not understand it, but He does. In areas of conflict when we sin against God, Jesus does not get even, but continues to show us love and forgiveness. Jesus does not punish us with wrath, but yet at the same time, He does discipline us through love. The problem comes in with our sinful nature is that when we receive that discipline, again, how do we receive it? Do we receive discipline with joy? Some of you may be saying, okay, Pastor, I think you've been working a little hard this week. That's next to impossible. Fair enough. But through the Spirit, we can. See, do we not realize that we have a God who, yes, does discipline us, but then again, He's doing so to strengthen our faith and trust in Him? Do we not realize we have a God who really does love and care for us, even in the midst of being in a world that's filled with a lot of anger, a lot of wrath, and filled with sin? Yes, there is a difference in how God approaches that conflict between us and Him. And every time we sin, every time we delight in sin, we're producing more of that conflict. And what does Jesus do? He says, I forgive you. You are forgiven. He says, I love you. You are loved. Even in the midst of that conflict, even in the midst of sinning. Talk about a gracious God. Someone sins against us, we get angry. How is that anger resolved? With sin and vengeance, or with love and forgiveness? And then how long does it take for that anger to subside within us? Does our anger leave us after a moment or two? Typically, if you find that I'm angry about something, my anger will last for about maybe 5 minutes or so. Maybe I'm driving in traffic and someone cuts me off and I get angry. 5 or 10 minutes, then that's all right. There are some people who hang on to anger for days, maybe even years, maybe their entire lifetime. Unfortunately, when I spent some time as a hospital chaplain and I've had to be at the side of people who are dying, and you would see families in conflict. They haven't spoken to each other in years, a family member would tell me, because of some argument. I sit there and think, where is that spirit of gentleness? Where is that spirit of love and forgiving? Yes, we're going to have conflicts in our lives. Gentleness, that fruit of the Spirit for today, is going to say, how do you handle that conflict? You don't necessarily give in like a doormat. You maintain your boundaries, but you do so in a spirit of love and forgiveness, not out of anger and vengeance. Hebrews 10 verse 30 reminds us, as the author says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.'" It is not our responsibility to take vengeance upon other people. We'll let the Lord handle that. Besides, the Lord wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Those people that we feel deserve vengeance, from our point of view, what happens when we get to the pearly gates in heaven above and we see them standing there right next to St. Peter greeting us into heaven? Is our anger going to sit there and say, "If this is heaven, I want to go the other way"? I hope not. But yet sometimes the way we approach conflict in our daily dealings with people, we actually kind of mean that. We almost kind of mean that we want other people to go to hell physically and literally instead of just as an expression. At those points in our lives, we are not practicing gentleness. It is the Lord who decides. Through God's grace, we go to heaven because of what God has given to us. Those who reject his grace, those who constantly say no, even though the Lord desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, as 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 reminds us, there is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, God has his boundaries. Not all are going to be saved, even though he desires all to be saved. So as we learn a little bit more about this fruit of gentleness, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing a good job of it in our lives? More than likely, we are not. And we need some help. This is where our Lord comes in and says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Isn't it interesting here that Jesus is basically coming to those who are in conflict with him and saying, "Learn from me. Learn about my love, learn about my forgiveness, and let me take your burdens that are on you, and let me take them." Why does our Savior do that? Because he doesn't view us as the enemy. Even though we sin, he should. Instead, he views us as people who are cherished, people whom he loves, people who he wants restored. That is God and how he demonstrates himself to us. Jesus calls himself gentle in that Matthew passage. His lowly mission, his heart is fixed only on doing God's will. And for this reason, because he does God's will, because he loves all people, he invites us to do the same with his gentleness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek is sort of referring to the one who produces gentleness will inherit the earth. Here, the meek receive that inheritance, the promise of eternal life, acknowledging the good and gracious will of God, knowing that, yes, that's how God wants gentleness to be handled, to handle conflict in our lives. God reminds us that, yes, we will be with him in heaven above. And if we're having that assurance of salvation, why do we need to have unsettled conflict this side of salvation? What is there really worth fighting for, knowing that all of a salvation is given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because too often in our lives, the conflicts that we enter in are over physical things here on earth. And God is saying, you know, you're only here for a short period of time. And in this world, you're going to have many strifes and many struggles. Don't worry about the strifes and struggles. I'm giving you eternal life. Don't let it consume you. So can we not handle conflicts with gentleness out of love and forgiveness. Paul speaks that same way when he uses the word gentleness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21, when the Corinthians were going away from God, Paul had some great concerns. He says, "What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness?" Think about it for a moment. When we do something wrong and we need to be corrected, do we want someone to come to us with a rod out of anger and vengeance? Or do we want someone to come to us with a spirit of gentleness? This is how our God operates. I hope you chose the spirit of gentleness. God gives His spirit of gentleness to us. He loves us and forgives us even though we don't deserve it. And through His spirit, He produces that gentleness through us to other people. I will admit our sinful nature gets in the way. And we may not always enjoy and want that gentleness. Sometimes we want that vengeance. But that Spirit needs to shape our hearts, to guide us down the paths. Paul, a little bit later from our text, from Galatians 5, 22-23, in just a few verses when he begins the sixth chapter, says, "Brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Again, here we finally have another aspect of that spirit of gentleness. As Paul names here, yes, we are supposed to correct, we are supposed to discipline, but don't let it go to your head. Do it in a spirit of gentleness, so that you also won't be tempted. Paul understands how sometimes we take for granted what God gives to us, and we sometimes may abuse it. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who abuse their various freedoms. There are many Christians who abuse that love and forgiveness that comes from God. There are many Christians who enjoy correcting others, thinking of themselves more higher than someone else. Paul here is sort of pulling back the reins and saying, wait a minute. That spirit of gentleness basically says, don't be too proud. As a good parent who has to discipline, you don't find joy in doing that discipline. That discipline can be very difficult and challenging. You do it to restore, to show love, and to show forgiveness. Abuse. Now we're in the area of I'm doing it for personal satisfaction. So that's the difference between gentleness and not gentleness. So this day, what do we do? We come before the Lord realizing and confessing our sins. We realize that too often we haven't had the gift of gentleness when we should. We haven't settled our conflicts well. We've been filled with anger, rage, and malice. Sometimes we want vengeance. And so we ask the Lord to continue to send His Spirit upon us, to guard our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, to lead us down the path that would produce gentleness, so that other people can see the fruit that we bear and see that it doesn't come from us, but it comes from God, who is the source of all love, forgiveness, and gentleness. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God that He has given us His Spirit. He has given us His gentleness so that we in turn can share that gentleness, that fruit of the Spirit, with those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.